Major League Baseball is one of the casualties of the coronavirus this spring. The start of the season has been postponed. But what does that mean for those whose job it is to announce those games? Chicago White Sox broadcaster Jason Benetti seems to be staying busy, still in touch with fans, and even providing some levity during this uncertainty. And Jason Benetti joins us now. Jason, thanks for taking time to be with us.
Sean, thank you for having me.
So I mentioned you are staying busy during this time. What have you been doing with no games to broadcast?
So the most enriching thing for me has been I've asked people on Twitter to send me messages from them to their loved ones, and I've been reading them as videos, and people have really opened up and been willing to talk about family members who they can't be around or they've lost in the past or how baseball has touched them. So that's been really enriching and made me feel like I can help people do virtual hugs, essentially, which is nice. I'm also recruiting assorted other sportscasters to do famous scenes from movies on Twitter. So we're dressing up and acting things out.
You're fulfilling these requests from fans as well. And some of those are pretty comical. I think I heard one where they wanted you to trash talk some people, maybe Cub fans, you know, or some other relative. And then, as you mentioned, some of those are very heartfelt. I saw one that involved someone who had lost their mother, and they wanted you to read a tribute to her.
Mom, please know we would have given anything to be there with you in your final moments, to hold your hand, to kiss your forehead, and let you know that everything's going to be okay, that you don't need to be scared, that you've taken care of us and we're going to be fine. You don't need to fight anymore. Out of safety concerns, we couldn't be there with you. But your brave, selfless nurses used their own cell phones and put us on speakers so we could say goodbye in our own way. Mom, I'm going to tell you something you already knew, but I want more people to know. You were a kind, loving, and gentle soul, and most importantly, you were loved. Please know her name. Betty Carney. Who knows? Maybe Mom's looking down and she will see this and it will bring a smile to her face. From your son John and your daughter Kathleen, we love you. John, a lot of people are going to be thinking about you and Kathleen and Betty, I think, for a long time. Thank you for sharing.
To me, it's a reminder that every time we walked past somebody when we were all outside, we missed out on knowing that there was somebody inside that body that we just walked past. And when you sit on an airplane and you don't talk to the person next to you, all of those are just missed opportunities to learn about what made a person what they are. And we don't all have time to do it with everybody we walk by. This is not me scolding myself or anyone else, but it's a reminder that everybody has something that they're dealing with. And it's also a reminder of just how much time people spend with baseball. Over 162 games, 3 hours a game, hypothetically, that's 480 hours. I mean, we're talking about 20 days of your life over the course of a season if you watch the entire game. And we are a major part of people's lives that are missing now. And sometimes even sports announcers can think sports are silly for a brief, fleeting moment when it's 9-1 in the eighth inning and the game's over and you say, well, you know, this is over. And it's something that anyone right now who's a baseball fan would give a lot of money for, just to see a 9-1 game in the eighth live. And so it's a reminder of how important baseball truly is to our culture. And it's not something that's silly. It's a civic institution that is deep in people's hearts.
We should also mention, when it comes to health challenges, and many people are facing those right now, you've had your own, you've had to deal with through the years. Talk about those if you could.
Yeah, I have cerebral palsy, and very early on in life, I was in and out of hospitals. And it's interesting, as I've reflected on even the first couple weeks of all this, I was sort of lamenting the loss of career and the loss of commerce and everything going on. And it is truly awful for so many people. And so many people have it worse than I do currently. But the thing that has helped me get through the times when it's tough for me mentally has been the reminder that, hey, for 9 years when I was a kid, I lost summers. You know, in and out of hospitals and having surgeries done is not the greatest way to build your social circle. And coming to school with casts on and things like that, it's not the greatest way to build your social circle. And I made it after 9 years of that. And so, you know, the next 27 years were sort of dedicated to forgetting it. And at a time of crisis, it has sort of come back to me how important it can be to me to remember that, yes, this is awful for so many, and it's, you know, going to get worse before it gets better, as the experts say. But this too shall pass is something that I remind myself of every day.
We're talking with Chicago White Sox announcer Jason Benetti. Jason, you mentioned cerebral palsy, and you've really been more of an educator about this. In fact, you produce segments called Awkward Moments. I've seen those, where you let some of your humor come in while still delivering a message to people.
When you have CP and you're walking around the world, sometimes people look out of curiosity's sake. Uh-huh. Sometimes people look to see if you need a hand, which I don't, but thanks anyway. Sometimes people look out of sheer panic, like at a museum with wildly valuable antiquities. Say, pottery from Roman times. I'm pretty sure I know what this security guard's thinking.
All right, Code Blue. He's kind of like bouncing back and forth, and he's talking to a friend. He's not even paying attention. He's going to bump into the huge face. He's totally into this conversation. He's waving his hands, getting closer, swerving. And...
dude, it's all right. You're just experiencing disbelievability. The condition of observing a person with disabilities do something completely typical for them, which you feel like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're doing this. I'm not going to break your vase. I'm a guy who believes that anything that survived Rome burning, the Crusades, and being dug up by pretty aggressive grade hunting grad students can survive me as well.
Yeah, I don't have many awkward moments anymore because I don't see anybody on a daily basis. I did them in conjunction with the Cerebral Palsy Foundation and the guy who was in charge at the time, Richard Ellenson. And we just thought it would be nice to have a smile while we told people what might be a better practice for how to handle people with disabilities out in public, and what I'd give to have somebody judge me in public right now. But they still are really important, because when we all get out of this isolation situation, we're going to have the opportunity to reset our minds, sort of, and rethink exactly how we treat people. And the Cerebral Palsy Foundation does such great work with awareness and let alone medical care, and I was just really happy to be a part of it.
You grew up in the Chicago area, the south suburbs, Homewood Flossmoor High School. Were you a White Sox fan growing up?
I was. I was a Sox fan growing up. My dad at first was a Cubs fan, but my mom and I converted him. He's a very happy Sox fan now. But yeah, I went to Sox games a bunch over the summers. We never had season tickets, but it was always, you know, hey, what are we doing this Friday? Well, we're just going to go to the Sox game. Like, that was the default thing that we did. And so I grew up with, like, the Frank Thomas, Ozzie Guillen, Jack McDowell, Roberto Hernandez, Robin Ventura, White Sox. I could list a bunch of them, but those were the 90s teams were the ones that really got me into baseball.
And you grew up, I'm assuming, listening to Ken Hawk Harrelson as well, and then you take his place in the broadcast booth. That's got to be surreal.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, I have this vivid memory of when I was 8 or so walking around gym class at Churchill Elementary School doing a Hawk Harrelson impersonation. And now I'm like, the idea that I would be replacing such a legend and now a Hall of Famer is a truly remarkable thing. And I am so grateful. Like, part of what's carried me through all this, too, is, hey, your mind goes to the worst places sometimes, and you just think of, like, worst case scenario. Like, what if there's never baseball ever again? And there's gonna be baseball. Like, we're gonna get through this. This is gonna burn out, and science will catch up. But to think that I made it to the majors and was the guy who followed Hawk Harrelson is a very accomplished feeling for this guy.
You also touched on it a moment ago about what's called sportscaster scenes, other sportscasters getting together, and you're doing some fun takeoffs on movies. How did that all come about? Was that your idea, somebody else's idea?
Yeah, I was just kind of brainstorming how to get sportscasters to do fun stuff, and I thought about, you know, the fact that we're in a building with emotion and we play off the crowd so much. Like, let's see what sportscasters have chops for performance-wise otherwise. So I called Len Casper from the Cubs, and I said, hey, I have this idea. Would you do the first scene with me? And he said, yeah, let me pick a scene. And so he talked to his wife, Pam, and they came up with a couple, and we decided on Ned Ryerson and Phil Connors from Groundhog Day. And Len was just supremely amazing as Ned Ryerson. I mean, he had the oddity and he had the weirdness of Ned and the earnestness, and it was fantastic.
Hey, Phil Connors, I thought that was you. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks for watching.
Don't tell me you don't remember me. I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned Ryerson. Needle Nose Ned. Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned
so, you know, maybe two a week I've done. There are four out. I've got a fifth one posting very soon as we talk. And it's just been great fun to have fun with other announcers, because that's what I missed from what we do, is we sit there and we talk about a game together, and the energy that comes off each person is truly astounding and helps us each get to a better show.
Well, that's the perfect segue to move into the broadcast I saw last season with you and Bill Walton, former NBA great and college basketball great. Bill Walton has always marched to his own drum, and he seemed to do that during the broadcast. If somebody hasn't seen that, I would suggest going and looking it up online. What was that like working with him? Was it challenging? Was it fun? Was it both?
I love Bill dearly, so I knew it was going to be great fun. The thing about calling it challenging is having the most curious person in the world and the most interested in information person in the world next to you is always going to be fun, but it's always going to be challenging, like you said, because you can sign up for Bill and you can say, oh, you know, I'll handle wherever he goes. And then he goes somewhere you don't expect. I mean, the first foul ball of that game, he goes, whoa. And I thought, well, what are we doing here? And he was just basically saying, like, wow, if they're all going to be like that, that's going to be great fun. It's like he was a kid watching a game for the first time, even though he absolutely wasn't. And he knows a lot of baseball people and he's a big fan of the game, but he plays with his partner and he plays on different ideas that you just don't see in baseball broadcasts. And he was tremendous. I will cherish that for every day that I'm on the earth. And he's become a really good friend. He's a sweetheart of a man. He cares so much about the world. And I miss getting to see him right now.
Well, before I let you go, Jason, I have to ask you, do you think we're going to see baseball this season?
You know, it really depends on the science. I mean, as everybody is saying, and I wish it would get through to every human in America, every leader in America, widespread testing is the key. I mean, that's what I've seen in the news, is that's what's opened up Germany. That's what's starting to, at least. That's what's opened up the Taiwanese Baseball League. That's what South Korea did. I mean, we need to be at the vanguard of testing, and we aren't at this point yet for whatever reason. But the closer we get to that, the closer we can get to baseball coming back. I mean, it really is all about the science. It's not about any person's individual opinion. It's about the science.
We hope to hear you broadcasting games again soon. Jason Benetti is an announcer for the Chicago White Sox. You also can hear him on several networks broadcasting other sports as well. And he's a nice guy for taking time to speak with us. Jason, thanks once again.
Sean, thank you for having me.